Do you remember what it felt like? Amen. In that moment when your life changed from who you were to what the Bible describes as a new creation. Does anybody remember what that felt like? Hallelujah. In one moment, addictions can fall away. Hallelujah. In one moment, desires change. In one moment, lifestyles change. In one moment, in the presence of Christ, your life will be changed forever. I'm thankful that the Lord is gracious to His people. I'm thankful that He loves us. I'm thankful that in spite of us, He loves us. Hallelujah. The Lord's been working in our church the past several months, I believe, and has looked across the congregation tonight. My heart was filled with thankfulness to see folks coming in, and not just for a moment, but the Lord is doing a work around here. And I don't want to embarrass Him, but I was watching Buddy tonight worship the Lord. So thankful for what God is doing in his life, and see the way that He's moving and He's ministering to people. And I had the occasion on Friday to have just a great conversation with my boss. If you don't know, both of my bosses are deaf, and so you have a lot of different roles in life. You know, I'm a youth pastor, and at work I'm just another interpreter. But on Friday we got some time where we were just able to talk, and had a great conversation about life, about God, about His love. And I told him, I said, you know, Darren, it's not about religion. If it's about religion, folks, I'm getting out of it real fast. It's not about religion. This is about a relationship. I said, my relationship with Christ is the reason I don't live the way everybody else lives. It's nothing to do with my religion. My relationship. And so we got to converse, and all the Lord just began to move and to minister in that office, and I was so thankful. I can't go into details about this situation, but Sister Sarah can agree with me. A few months ago, we prayed about a specific situation, and if I was to tell you the result of this, it would blow your mind. But out of confidence, we can't really go into details. But the other day, this week, someone came up to us and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but, and it was exactly verbatim of what we had prayed, word by word. Hallelujah. Now, I can't go into the details, but I will tell you this. In that moment, the power of the Lord came down. Hallelujah. I couldn't stop smiling. This individual said, I thought that you'd enjoy that, hearing that. I said, you have no idea. And I was able to tell this person, listen, we prayed for this situation exactly how you just described it. And I said, I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves you, and He's letting you know it. Hallelujah. Listen, church, we are facing things in our families. We are facing things in our congregation. We are facing things in our nation. We're facing things in our world that we must come to the realization that now, more than ever, we are in need of a revival and a move of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. I'm in need of revival. I'm in need of the Lord's presence being so very near to us, that when folks come in, they know this is a place where I can get help. Listen, if we are only coming out of religion or out of a duty or a sense of obligation, then we might as well lock the doors. But I don't believe that's why we've come tonight. I believe this is a church whose people love to see God move. And now more than ever, in the hour that we live in, it's time for God's people to get on our knees and to cry out to our God and say, oh God, more than ever, Lord, would you move right now? Amen. We've got folks coming in who are in a desperate need for help in their lives. And this is the place to get the help. Amen. God is wanting to move and to minister. Amen. Amongst his people and in the hearts of men and women everywhere. If we, the people of God, amen, will allow him to move in our hearts. Amen. I tell you tonight, I have an extreme case of dry mouth. I'm super thirsty already. And normally I'm not like that. So if I stop a little bit tonight, that's why. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 63. Brother Durth, hold on to that scripture that I told you for just a little bit. The book of Psalms, chapter 63. We'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. The reason I'm saying that to Brother Durth, and I told the youth group this, sometimes when you get ready to preach, man, I have a thought in my mind, but I feel like I'm traveling down 5 different roads to get there. So I'm going to go in this direction. I'm going to pray the Lord just have his way in it, okay? I want us to look at something, though, in this chapter. Pastor has read this many times to us, and even recently, so I don't want to be repetitive, but I want us to take notice of something here. In most Bibles, at the very top of the chapter in the Psalms, it will give a description of either the writer, who he is, or the situation that the writer was in at the time that he penned the Psalms. In chapter 63, it says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness. Let's read. Verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Have we seen the Lord move here at Union Road? Amen. So we could say adequately, this could be our prayer also tonight. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Hallelujah. Brother Durth, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and make your way over to those scriptures. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, says in verse 1, and I'm going to get to the scripture on the wall in just 1 second. It says, but now thus the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 18, which is on the wall, says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The aim of my heart tonight is this: another experience in the wilderness. Or we could even say a fresh experience in the wilderness, a new experience in the wilderness, whatever the case may be. I believe that even in the hardest times of our lives, as believers, we can know that God knows where we are and is able to minister to His people even in the middle of a wilderness experience. Hallelujah. Whatever you need from the Lord tonight, you can find it here. Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship Him one more time. Ask Him to move. Father, we thank You. Oh, God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, You know my heart. You know the desire and the burden that I feel tonight. I pray that You would help me to express this burden clearly and adequately, Lord. I pray that You would minister to the people here tonight. This is Your church, Lord. We love You. And God, we're looking for You, Lord. We want You to minister to us. And we know that Your Word will always, always minister. It will never return void, Father. We thank You for that. We pray tonight You'd move on every individual. Amen. As Your people say, amen. Hallelujah. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness. The definition of a wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, or an inhospitable region. It's a neglected or abandoned area. But the reality is that when I say the word wilderness, you know in your mind what that means. If I say wilderness, I think of a desert. If I say wilderness, I think of being abandoned in the middle of an Amazon jungle, somewhere where there's no Motel 6, there's no Starbucks. Oh, help them. Help them, Lord. There's no place for you and I to be comfortable. You see, a wilderness is not designed for us to live in. A wilderness is a place where wild things live. It's a place where danger can often be present. You and I are not made to live in the same place an anaconda makes his abode. You and I are not designed to swim in the same creek that an alligator makes as its home. You and I are not designed to live in a wilderness. You see, many times, and even in the Bible, we see that often the children of Israel would make their way through a wilderness, but always it resulted in a time where they were there longer than they should have been. When they were delivered out of Egypt, the Bible said that journey should not have taken more than a few days, but because of their disbelief in God and His ability to move in their lives, they resulted in walking in the middle of that wilderness for 40 years. Now, how many times as believers have we had experiences where we could say, I feel like I'm in the middle of a wilderness? This is a metaphor, yes, but I think we could say that with honesty and say there are times where we feel like spiritually that we are not where we should be. If you and I were to be dropped off in the middle of nowhere and they said, okay, find your way out of there, some would fall into a heaping mess and begin to weep as a child. Others would feel their choleric self rising up in them and saying, I'm going to find my way out of this place. And some would walk in circles until eventually they passed away because they have no direction. I believe that, and even in this situation, David finds himself in the middle of a physical wilderness. But why is he there? If you read in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22-23, you find that David has just slain Goliath. He's had a major victory in his life. He's experienced an upside, or a mountaintop experience, as we like to say. He's had a time where he has felt victory. He's overcome an obstacle. Everything is good. He rides back into the nation's capital, and the people are saying Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. David is feeling pretty good right about now. Until Saul, the king, David's mentor, the father of David's best friend, the man that David has served diligently, turns on David and is now his enemy. He tries to kill David. That's why David's in the wilderness. He's fleeing for his life. Oftentimes in our lives, whether by our own doing or even by the doing of others, we can find ourselves in a place where we are no longer comfortable or we are no longer familiar with our surroundings, but we begin to look around and say, how did we even get here? How did I get to the place where I'm not in my normal setting? How did I get to the place where I don't even feel God? How did I get to the place where it's almost like I'm alone in the middle of a wilderness? Situations can often lead us to a wilderness experience. You see, the wilderness is missing vital things that you and I need for life. Water, food, shelter, the basic necessities. If we tonight were to be somehow taken to the middle of the desert with no water, no supplies, it wouldn't be very long until we would find ourselves in a very, very bad situation. It's a wilderness. We're not designed to be there. We're not made to be there. We find ourselves often feeling in a wilderness because of people, problems, temptations, family, friends, wrong choices, sin. Now listen, church, I'm talking to us because David here was still the same man of God that he was before he was in the wilderness. And you and I as believers are not always going to have an experience where we feel on top of the mountain. I would love to be in that state of euphoria like I was the night that I got saved. Oh man, that was it was the most amazing experience of my life. I slept better that night than I've ever slept in my life. Feeling the peace of God, Brother Brad, it was life-changing. Right? I mean, I'm not the only one who felt that way. When God came in and changed my life, I felt like I was on cloud nine. I'd love to stay there. But the reality of life is this, and it's not only us who have experienced this reality, but you will find throughout Scripture that even those in the Bible experienced hard times and times of difficulty and times of trials, times of temptations, and times of heartache. We are not the only ones who have ever went through a wilderness experience, but I will remind us that God knows where we're at tonight. And even if we are in the place where we feel like no one else knows what we're experiencing, no one else knows the drought that I feel, no one else knows the hunger that is in my heart, no one else knows that I feel alone, God knows right where you're at. Even in the wilderness, God provided a cloud by day for the protection and the shade of Israel and a pillar of fire by night so that they would know God was always present. He never once left them alone. He provided manna from heaven so that they would have food to eat. He often provided meals for them. He gave them sustenance when there was nothing else available. Why? Because daily God was reminding his people that although the situation is bad, I'm still God and I know how to move in your life. Hallelujah. Now, spiritual wilderness is very similar to a physical wilderness. But it affects the spiritual man inside of us. We just sang all at once and once and for all. Jesus, he changed us. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My rotten self is not who is in control now. Christ controls me. Hallelujah. But our spiritual man, it still fights. Oh, hallelujah. When we get to heaven, we were talking about it earlier, Brother Steve. You said that we're going to get repaid for all the toils of life that we go through, all the ups and downs, but we haven't made it there yet. But the reality of life is this, we will have toils and strifes. That's just the way it's going to be, but God knows where we're at. And listen, church, that's not the time to give up. That's not the time to pull back and say, you know, I might have to reevaluate some things. Listen, when it's an experience where you feel like you're in a spiritual wilderness, that is the time more than ever to begin to pursue after the things of God where you know He is. In a wilderness, I was talking to a man last week. He went on a hunt in Indiana, down in southern Indiana. He was going on a deer hunt. And I can't remember the exact acreage, but it was well over 1,000 miles. I'm sorry, hundreds of miles, not 1,000 miles. Hundreds of miles of acres in this park region. It's a very dense and populated, wooded populated region. Hills, valleys. He's an experienced hunter. He's, all of his life he's hunted. But somehow in the middle of that hunt, he got turned around. He lost his bearings. So much so that the National Guard had to be called out, and they had to have a helicopter searching for him because it was so dense of a location. They could not find him with just an individual. He had to be airlifted out of that wilderness. He said it was embarrassing. Now here's someone who has done the same thing his whole life, but one wrong turn. One miscalculation, one forgetting to mark a trail, or one even lapse of judgment cost that man possibly his life. Many hunters, many wilderness men or women, many folks who have climbed mountains and done all sorts of amazing things outside have lost their lives in the wilderness because they made a bad choice. We heard of a man who recently, he was well known for rock climbing and he had done it all of his life. And he made a bad choice and ended up having to amputate his own arm so that he would live. His arm got caught between some rocks and boulders and he had to literally sever his own arm so that he would make it back to civilization. That's extreme. Listen, church, we have lived this life. And no matter if you've only been a Christian for some few days or in this thing for 50 years, the possibility and danger of falling in the wilderness is always present. And we are seeing, and even in Matthew chapter 24, it said that because sin will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And there's going to be a great falling away. Listen, church, the burden of my heart is this. We need revival today. It is not time for us to turn around. It's time for us. It may feel dry as it, you know, to you as it does outside. Listen, we're in drought right now. This is a dry season in Ohio. That's why they've already started taking the crops down because they figure we're not going to get much more rain. We better process what we got. You may feel like you're in a drought right now where it's been so long since you've entered into worship. And the pressures of life are not even in your thoughts. But see, many times a wilderness, we can get so caught up in being lost that we forget about the way home. We can get so caught up with being lost that we forget about how to get home. How long has it been since we've entered into worship and just, basked in the presence of God? Wept at the thought of salvation. How long has it been since we have shouted under the anointing or danced because we were so thrilled and overjoyed to know that God had loved us enough to save us? How long has it been since we have felt a genuine joy at being a Christian? Not just joy or happiness because of things that happen outside of church, but just a natural joy in our lives. Listen, church, when you're in the wilderness, you begin to get hungry, you begin to get thirsty, fatigue can set in, dehydration can set in, because the effects of the wilderness will always take a toll on the body. But spiritually speaking, the effects of a spiritual wilderness will always begin to affect your spiritual man. But that is the time when your body or your spiritual man begins to relate to you that you are in need of a move of God. That is the moment where we are to drop what we are doing, to stop in our tracks and lift our hands hands and say, God, I need you tonight. Your body will always tell you when it's tired. It will always relate to you when it's thirsty. Mine is screaming right now for water. You will always know when you are hungry. Your spiritual man will always tell you when you are thirsty for the presence of God. Your spiritual man will always tell you when you are hungry for the truth of the Word of God. It will always relate to you that you are in need of time alone with God, because it is telling you in that moment, this is for your life. How do you survive a spiritual wilderness, though? And I'm hurrying. I believe it was in this time of David being in a physical wilderness that he began to recognize the relation between a physical wilderness and a spiritual wilderness. What if we took the approach that David did when he was in the wilderness? He said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." Do you suppose that David may have been thirsty in that moment for a drink of water from Bethlehem? I believe it could be impossible. "My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." As he peers around his settings and the terrain, he, "Oh God, I'm thirsty, but not as thirsty as I am to be in your tabernacle again. Oh, not as thirsty as, God, I would just love to be able to play my harp in the tabernacle again." And as he began to muse upon his need for God, the Lord made the way possible for him to get out of that wilderness. So how do we do it? First off, we need to remember that God has not forgot about us. And although we are in the middle of a wilderness where it seems like we are alone, or that we're in the middle of hard times, God's still God. You might be battling something tonight, maybe past things that you have done in your life, and you, I know that God's there somewhere, but it doesn't feel like God's right here. Let me remind you, God is right with you. Hallelujah. Psalm 139, the Bible says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off." God knows you. "You can pass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a tongue or there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it already. You have beset me behind and before. You've went ahead of me, God. Before I even got to this place, Lord, you're already there. And even if I go backwards, God, you're already there. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me," the psalmist said. "It is high. I cannot understand it. Where could I go from your presence? Where could I go from the Spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I was to go to heaven, you're there. And if I feel like I'm in the middle of hell, you're there, God." The psalmist was recognizing that no matter where we are in our lives, whether we feel like we're on top of the mountain or we feel so low that we're hitting rock bottom, God is still there and he's able. And the psalmist said it. David said, "You uphold me with thy right hand." Hallelujah. The Lord is able to lift us up. He hasn't forgot about you. Secondly, the Lord's able to minister to you right where you are. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19 through 21 says, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. Thou also gave thy good spirit to instruct them, and you did not withhold manna from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing." Hallelujah. What is the principle right here? Even though we are in the middle of a wilderness, we still lack nothing as the people of God. Finances may be low. You still lack nothing. Your God still owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Your marriage may be in need of repairing. God's able to mend it, bring it back together. Your family may be going through difficulty or trials. God knows how to solve that problem in a moment. You may be battling addictions. God is able to give you the strength through every temptation, every struggle, every trigger. God is able to give you the grace to help you to go through it. Listen, God is able to minister. The Bible said they lacked nothing. We lack nothing tonight. Amen. If the music could come. The burden of my heart is this. I want to see revival. You know, we're preparing for Glow in the Dark, and we've got youth rally this Friday and harvest parties, and it's not going to be too long, and we're going to be having Christmas plays and Thanksgiving services, and I'm already listening to Christmas music, so I guess I'm ahead of the curve on that. I started back in July, but that's neither here nor there. We have the opportunity to be as busy already as we want to be. Right? Sometimes you think, man, is it ever going to slow down? Nope. But here's the thing. Even in the middle of the busiest time of our lives, God's able to come by and minister. Church, we need God to come by and minister. I don't want to do it on my own. I thought tonight before I got up here, God, if I have to preach alone, oh, it's going to be awful. God, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to serve God alone. I don't want to come to church and feel like God's not there. I don't want to walk into this building for nothing. I don't want to go to youth rally, guys, and just go and sit and sing songs and look around at everybody and then go home. I don't want that. I don't want to have fun night without even having the presence of God there. Why? Because I'm so desperately in need of Him. It is amazing to me how completely dependent we are upon God. And it's got to be that way. Listen, even in the middle of a wilderness, God can give you direction. Even in the middle of a wilderness, the Spirit of God can fall on you and fill your soul where you say, God, I'm overflowing. I mean, it feels like the Spirit of God is running out of me. God, I'm so full because the Word of God has been preached like it was this morning. God, I'm eating on the Word of God. Even in the middle of a wilderness, He knows what we need tonight. We're not the only ones who have ever went through anything. But He is the only one who's ever went with us throughout everything. Tonight, why don't we stand? I wrote down some tips from David's psalm that I think may help us to get our mind and our focus back on the Lord. Sometimes that's really all we need, is to get our attention back on God. Man, you're walking down a trail and you're not paying attention. It's not hard at all to get off the trail. You need to go to the west and you're looking at the scenery and you're walking. All of a sudden you look around. This ain't on the map. You just got to go back to where God was. Hey, if God met you at youth camp, you need to figure out why God was at youth camp. If God met you on Sunday morning, we need to figure out why God was moving on Sunday morning and now we don't feel Him. What was different about that day? If we remember how God used to move revivals and camp meetings and old time Pentecostal outpourings, listen, elders, it's time to figure out what God was doing back then just so that we can show our young people and have the same move today. God wants to move amongst His people. But if we're off track, it's time to go back. The Bible said, ask for the old paths and walk therein. Listen, tonight, if you're not feeling God the same way you used to feel Him, it's time to get back on the road and figure out where God is. He isn't the one that is left. If I'm not feeling God, it's not His fault. Some tips to lead us to a fresh experience with God. Start out your day with God. Verse 1, He said, my God, early will I seek Thee. The second thing, hunger and thirst after the things of God. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember the experiences with God that you've had in the past, and go back there. He said in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David was very familiar with the tabernacle of God. He knew God. David remembered when God gave him the strength to slay that bear and that lion. He said, God, I may not feel you now. I may feel so weak that I don't even feel like I could slay a flea. But God, I remember when you gave me the power. Remember what he's done for you. Worship Jesus in spite of your problems and difficulties. In the face of your problems and difficulties, worship him. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Yeah, David's life right now is messed up. But your loving kindness, Lord, is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. Are you satisfied tonight? Meditate on the Lord and his goodness during the day. When I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night hours. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 said, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. I'm not in need tonight of a get-rich-quick scheme. I'm not in need tonight of a self-improvement seminar. You know what I need? I need Jesus to walk through those doors and fix the problems in my life. What I need is for Jesus to walk down the aisle, Brother Brad, take me by the hand and say, son, it's going to be all right. What you need tonight is not anything else other than Jesus Christ. And he said, when the time of refreshing comes, who's he? The Father shall send Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anybody sense their need of revival tonight? Does anybody else sense a need for Christ to come by and lift you up by his right hand and say, son, daughter, it's going to be okay? Does anybody else feel a need tonight for the comforter to come and wrap their arms around you and say, oh, it's going to be okay, child. We're going to make it through. I'm not ashamed to admit my need of God tonight. I'm not ashamed to admit how dependent on him I am. I need Jesus Christ. If you need the Lord tonight, why don't we come and take some time? Let's ask God to revive us. Even in the middle of the wilderness, tonight you might be on the mountaintop. Praise the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you when you're not. Let's all come. Let's all come.